He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene in Cape Elizabeth, Maine. Download more sermons or learn about the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene at our website, capenazarene.org. Here's Pastor John Twitchell as he delivers this week's message.
You probably don't know that such a place as Twitchell Observatory actually exists. No, not so much. You never heard of it, right? You've heard of Twitchell Pond, no relation. A lot of you have heard of Twitchell Airport, no relation. I don't own any airplanes. Some of you, if you've lived in the state long enough and if you happen to do agricultural sorts of things, may have heard of Twitchell Farm Equipment. That was my grandfather. But I doubt any of you have heard of Twitchell Observatory. The closest one who might have heard of anything close to resembling Twitchell Observatory would be Beverly, but it wasn't called Twitchell Observatory when she might have seen it or driven by it. Such a place exists, and I got a Facebook message this week from someone who said, I want to take some high school students into Twitchell Observatory. Can you help me get a hold of your dad? Because actually Twitchell Observatory is named for my father. But he doesn't run the scheduling anymore, so I'm sure, you know, my friend got in touch with him who put him in touch with the right people. But want to take some students to do some stargazing in Twitchell Observatory. It's up in the Oxford Hills area. It's run by a cooperative of the school department and the adult ed department, the community services. It was named for my father, who was invested a lot of time and energy into maintaining the telescope for all of the years while he taught and helped to actually design the blueprint for how they would set this all up when it moved. For a while, the telescope inside that observatory, it was the second largest telescope in all of New England. But before it was called Twitchell Observatory, it was on the high school grounds, and interestingly enough, it was practically right behind the Norway Church of the Nazarene. It was often used by physics classes, adult ed classes, Girl Scouts, Boy Scout troops. But when the school was expanded in the late 1990s, they needed a new home for the telescope and observatory, so a donor came forward and provided some land on Hooper's Ledge Road for a new observatory and warming hut. Now, amateur astronomers in the room this morning? Yeah, not so much. I'm not an astronomer either. I'm not an astronomy buff. To be honest, I never really got excited about the observatory. You had to be really patient and really still. I remember going there as a kid when Dad was doing things for other groups, and you know, it was cold, there wasn't any heat, and you had to look through this little tiny eyepiece and try to have somebody explain what it was you were looking at. For me, as a child, the most exciting part actually was watching the dome spin around or the cover open or close. That was really cool. The rest of it, I didn't have a lot of use for. But even though none of us are astronomers, you intuitively know something. You know that moving the telescope out of the downtown area of Oxford Hills to a place on Hooper's Ledge Road was probably a good move, right? I mean, you don't even need to know where Hooper's Ledge Road is. You just intuitively know that was a good move. The choice between stargazing in downtown Norway and South Paris or stargazing out on some rural area on a ledge, you would choose the ledge, right? It's not because you're that much higher off the ground. I mean, really, the distance to the stars doesn't make that much difference. It's because it's darker, right? There's no Tim Hortons across the street. There are no street lights and traffic lights, no cars whizzing by on Route 26 a couple hundred yards away. There's no small town creating a glow that interferes with your ability to see the stars shining in the darkness. Ambient light is one of the things that most complicates astronomy, right? It keeps our eyes from adjusting and being able to see the stars. We all know this to be true. The stars seem to shine brighter when it's dark out. Downtown Portland is different than out in Buxton or Standish or wherever, right? If you want to see the stars, you're not going to do it on Congress Street. Melody and I lived for 4.5 years in Quincy, Massachusetts, just south of Boston. You don't do a lot of stargazing when you live just south of Boston. But 3 months out of the year, I spent in Lovell on Keyser Lake in the middle of nowhere with no lights around. And it's amazing how different the stars look from Boston to Lovell. In our scripture lesson today, Paul tells us that we are supposed to shine like stars. that we are to be blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. So let me just put it to you this way. People of God are people of holiness. And people of holiness are people who shine in the darkness. Right? People of God are people of holiness, and people of holiness are people who shine in the darkness. Would you hear the words of Paul? We're in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 18. Philippians 2, 12 through 18. Therefore, Paul writes, now you may still be looking up before I go on reading. Let me just point this out. Whenever you see that word therefore, you know to go back and see what the context is. Paul's referring to what came immediately before. You need a reminder of this. When you see therefore, you go back and look to see what the therefore is there for. Thank you, Brother Mike. These old tired preacher gigs, right? Yeah, I know. but this is important. So let's just remember what we've just done. We've looked at being people of cruciformity, people shaped by Christ's self-emptying kenotic movement. Paul has been calling us to have the mindset of Christ, of unity, of cruciformity, of integrity. He's called us to lay aside our personal agendas and to be driven solely by the mission of God. That's what the therefore is. Therefore, it's in that context that Paul writes, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Just a quick note on these couple verses here. You understand, Paul is not telling us to figure out our salvation, right? Paul's not giving us a mental exercise. He's not telling us to do something to accomplish our salvation. A lot of times we read this and we kind of stop at the end of verse 12. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, and we stop reading there. We think Paul wants us to develop a bullet list of doctrines or to work hard to maintain our salvation. But if you keep reading, Paul doesn't say it's you who works in you to will and to act according to God's good purposes. It is who? It is God. It is God who works in you to will and to act. This is not a verse about works-based salvation. This is not a verse about trying to figure out God. This is a verse about partnering with God as God works in us. It's about living out our salvation or living into the purposes and mission of God. Or as you've heard me say so often, you're probably tired of hearing the phrase, it's about living into our calling as subjects in the kingdom of God. God works in us. Salvation works itself out in how we live. Good works are never to earn our salvation, but faith will always produce good works. It's God working in us to accomplish the purposes and will of God. James, in his letter, tells us that faith without works is dead. I love the way Rich Mullins puts it in one of his songs. Faith without works is like a song you can't sing. Here's where it gets really good, right? It's about as useless as a screen door in a submarine. All right? Faith without works is about as useless as a screen door in a submarine. Part of what Paul is saying here is that we've not simply arrived because we've said a prayer. We've not simply arrived because we've accepted Jesus into our heart, or even because we've been baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. These moments are all beginning moments in our journey of faith. They are important moments, but they are moments that spur us forward and onward as we continue to journey. We continue to learn, to grow, to work out our salvation, to be stretched in our faith. Salvation is always an invitation to participate in the very life of God, the very mission of God. And that participation ought to be noticeable to the world around us. This is the backdrop for what Paul says as we continue on in the next couple of verses. Paul writes, verse 14, do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault, in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain, But even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The people of God are people of holiness, and people of holiness are people who shine in the darkness. Or as Paul would say, then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. Throughout Christian history, we've often thought, and we make the mistake even today, but we've often thought that holiness is about isolation. Right? And this is nothing new. You can go back to the monastic movement, the Desert Fathers, the early American Puritanism. We thought that holiness equals isolation. Even in our own holiness movement in the Church of the Nazarene, we've sometimes tipped the pendulum that holiness equals isolation from the world. But I heard a turn of the phrase this week that I particularly liked, that holiness isn't about isolation, it's about infection. Right? Holiness isn't about isolation, it's about infection. Not us being infected by the world, mind you, but us infecting the world with God's good news, with holiness. And the only way we can infect people with holiness is to get involved with the messiness of their lives. Now, I know, you might think, well, we're supposed to shine like stars in the sky. Stars are up there, distant, far away from us, right? Paul's saying we ought to be like stars in the sky. Well, we missed a couple words if we say we're supposed to be like stars in the sky, right? Paul says, shine among them like stars in the sky. Not shine like stars in the sky far away from everyone else, but shine among them. It doesn't mean we're to be aloof or distant or unconcerned with the world around us. Paul says we are to shine among them, not apart from them, not separately from them, but to shine among them. And if you need further argument for that, remember the context of chapter 2. How did Christ demonstrate holiness? He emptied himself, became nothing, taking on the nature of a servant, humbling himself, being obedient to death, even death on a cross. God Almighty, the incarnation getting messy. That's what holiness looks like, is God coming down and getting his hands dirty. Paul has called us to be anything but aloof and distant. Paul's calling us to have the mindset of Christ. The entire point of that great kenosis hymn at the beginning of chapter 2 is to paint this picture of the incarnation, that Christ entered into the messiness of human life, that Jesus rubbed shoulders with sinners, that he touched lepers, he spat in the dirt and wiped mud on the blind person's eyes so he could see. He ate dinner with tax collectors. And he hung out with a group of ragtag disciples who probably dropped out of synagogue school. If holiness is Christ-likeness, then holiness is not about isolationism, but about infection, about getting into the world. Not that we get infected by the world, but our lives spread the good news that we shine like stars among the rest of the world, to mirror the very incarnation of Christ, to have the mindset of Christ, getting our hands dirty in the lives of those around us. Now, I know it is popular today to bemoan the state of the world around us. In evangelical Christian circles, it is popular to list everything wrong with the world around us. The global situation, even our own country, our own neighborhoods. We could blame Hollywood. We could blame Capitol Hill. We could blame Pennsylvania Avenue, Wall Street, Madison Avenue, or even the Supreme Court. We could do all of that. But in all of the blaming, can I just point one thing out? That we miss one key point. That the darker it is, the brighter we shine. You ever thought about it there? I mean, the stars are always there, right? It's not that the stars go away when the sun comes out. The stars are always there. They don't disappear during the day and show up at night, but we're able to see them in the darkness. They're always there burning and glowing, but the darkness gives them an opportunity to shine, and the darker it is, the brighter the stars seem to shine. Now, please don't go home and say, Pastor said we ought to rejoice that the world is, you know, getting worse and worse and worse and worse. That's not what I'm saying, all right? I'm not suggesting we ought to rejoice in the darkness, but in the midst of all of that, when we're tempted to hang our heads in despair and wring our hands, let's just remember this one thing. The darkness provides for us an opportunity to shine even more brightly, to do what God has called us to do, that our lives are beacons of holiness against a backdrop of darkness. Our words, our actions, our good deeds, our attitudes all point people to Jesus. I heard an illustration just yesterday which helps so much. If you go to a jewelry store and the jeweler wants to show off a diamond to you, he's not going to grab the diamond and set it on top of the glass countertop, right? Right? He's not even going to grab the diamond and put it in his hand and hold it out to you so you can see the diamond. He's going to put the diamond on a piece of black velvet. It's against the backdrop of the black velvet that the diamond really begins to sparkle and shine and glimmer. The darkness provides us an opportunity, a chance, a moment in time to glimmer and to shine and to spread the good news. The horrible situation in your friend's life, it's horrible. But it also gives you an opportunity to speak hope and peace and salvation and redemption into that situation. The brokenness in our family provides us an opportunity to share and to live out the gospel, to tell those around us how God radically transformed our lives, and that God can do the same for them, that God can bring them out of darkness into glorious light. The way we live, brother and sister, the way we live ought to be attractive to the world around us. Our passionate lifestyle, our unconditional love, our grace-filled lives, our holiness that makes us shine like stars in the darkness, it all ought to point to God in such a way that the world around us wonders what we have and how they can get some of it too. The Newsboys, originally a Christian rock and roll band from Australia, captured the essence of this in one of their older songs called Shine. I am not going to sing it for you today. I'm not asking Paul and Jerry to come up and rock it out for us. But I do want to just read you a couple of the lines. Dull as dirt, you can't assert the kind of light that might persuade a strict dictator to retire, fire the army, and teach the poor origami. And try as you may, there isn't a way to explain the kind of change that would make an Eskimo renounce fur, that would make a vegetarian barbecue hamster. Then the chorus goes on, shine. Make them wonder what you've got. Make them wish that they were not on the outside looking bored. Shine. Let it shine before all men. Let them see good works, and then let them glorify the Lord. A little humor in those verses. I don't care. I don't need Eskimos to give up their furs, and I certainly don't need vegetarians to start barbecuing hamsters. But it serves to illustrate that sort of radical change, right? The radical change that is available for people who decide to follow Jesus. The radical change that causes someone to shine like a star in the darkness. For when we are obedient to God, God changes us from the inside out. And I know a lot of times I talk about the, you know, we give up, we take up the cross, we deny ourselves, but let's remember there are blessings for us when we are obedient to Christ as well. That's the flip side of that coin. Our lives are better. Our spirits are at peace. We are content. We are better husbands and wives and fathers and mothers because we begin to be more and more obedient to the way God wants us to live. And as we are obedient to the way God wants us to live, we begin to enjoy some of the blessings of that obedience. These are the same blessings that we want our neighbors and our friends to experience. The same radical transformational change in your life is what we want to offer our friend, our neighbor. And yes, we do go through tough times too. But when we do, we can do so with grace and confidence because we know that Jesus walks with us, that God goes with us, that God's purposes are being worked out and accomplished in our lives, that even in the darkest valleys, the Good Shepherd is with us because he's already been that way before. Friends, this is the good news you've experienced. This is the good news that you have the salvation you found, the forgiveness of sins, your feet lifted from the miry clay and set upon the solid rock. And that same radical transformation, that same life-giving hope that you've found is available to your friend, your neighbor, your coworker. Let me give you the words of Jesus, because he puts it this way, Matthew 5:14-16. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Would you stop and think about that for just a moment? Because we're going to get into Christmas time here at some point in the next couple months. I know that's really hard to imagine and believe. And we're going to start talking about the light of the world, and we're going to use the light of the world to refer to Jesus. But here Jesus is, the light of the world, looking not just at his disciples, not just the 12, but looking at the multitudes and saying to them, you are the light of the world. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount, a sermon given to the multitudes, and Jesus looks at the crowds. Jesus, the light of the world, looks at the crowds and says, you are the light of the world. Paul says you're to shine like stars among the darkness. In 2 Corinthians, Paul says you are the ambassador of Jesus, as though God were making his appeal through you. The light of the world, a star in the darkness, an ambassador for Christ. This is who the people of God are called to be. This is who you are. These are titles that ought to make us stand a little taller, right? Walk a little straighter, have a little purpose and dignity and boldness and confidence, because you are the light of the world. You are a star in the darkness. You are the ambassador of Jesus. It's where our boldness comes from, to share with a friend, to offer to pray for a coworker, to invite a neighbor to church, to share a testimony of how God changed me. People are observing your life every day. You know, they don't need a telescope or an observatory or a warming hut to do it, because you're not way off in the distance. You're right there among them. You live out your life up close and personal. They don't need a telescope, because you are the physical representation of Jesus to that person. You are the light of the world in their life. You know, so they watch you when you turn the other cheek as the guy cuts you off on the highway. They see you as you exhibit grace and patience in the checkout line at the grocery store. They watch you roll down your window and give out some resources to someone who's a little less fortunate than you are. They watch you trying to be a faithful husband, or being a loving single mom who never stops running from appointment to appointment. They watch you be a student who doesn't cheat on a homework assignment, or a business person who keeps his word even when it's tough. They watch you. They watch you live a life of integrity, a life of generosity, a life of faithfulness and holiness. They watch you shining like stars among the darkness. For the people of God are people of holiness, and people of holiness shine in the darkness. We're not afraid of it. We don't shy away from it. We go into the darkness the same way that Jesus did, so we might infect the world around us with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Holiness, faithfulness, righteousness. This is what God wants for us. This is what we need. It's what we long for. It's what God is at work in our lives to produce. And so as the worship team comes to lead us in that song, holiness and faithfulness and righteousness, would you let it be your prayer today? Your response is to ask God to accomplish those purposes in your lives, that you might shine like a star in the darkness, at home, at work, in your neighborhood. And as we work out our salvation in fear and trembling, we trust that it is God who works in us to bring about his purposes.
Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for listening to this week's sermon. More sermons are available online at our website, capenazarene.org. Our website also includes instructions for subscribing to our podcast so you can have a message delivered to you weekly. May God bless you as you serve him this week.